Yes, good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. I just wanted to read one passage of Scripture that came to my heart. I don't know if you've appreciated the preaching this week, but it's been good preaching, challenging to us. And, of course, here's a verse that we all know or should know, Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And it says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I was challenged many years ago to look at feet. And feet, those are the most ugliest part on us, you know. But the Bible says they're the most beautiful part, those who take the gospel everywhere. So let's keep that in prayer for our missionaries and for Brother Marowelli trying to reach all those unreached groups around the world. It's a privilege to be a part of that. Birthdays this week, we've got Brad Vogel Thursday, Helen Lloyd Saturday. And if there's someone else, anybody else have a birthday this week? I'll write you down because I want to remember it. Anniversaries. Okay. If there is, you let me know afterwards and we'll keep it up. So remember those people in prayer this year, this week. Also, we've got Gordy and Frank's nephew. I just want to add this to our prayer list. His name is Greg. Is it Fleming? Am I saying that right? And keep him in prayer. He had a heart attack and a stroke. He's in a diabetic coma right now. And I don't believe when I say he's not that old of a man, he'd be in his 40s, 50s. And so let's be in prayer there. Not sure if he will recover from this, but we need to be praying for the family and for him as well. Also pray for Oogie Claver, who is not doing well, and that's Brother Jerry Claver's brother. We've been praying for him for a long time now, but let's continue to pray because his health situation is not so well. Just a personal prayer request for myself, if you would. My uncle passed away yesterday at around 4:30. In the afternoon, and he's the last one of the siblings of my dad. My dad's not doing well in his health either. He is failing, and I would be very surprised if he makes it through the year himself. So that would be the last of the seven children in that family. So a lot of things to be praying for, but God is good. He is good no matter what. So continue to pray for the Benaways, the Ronsons as well. Let's have Brother Jimmy, would you mind praying for us this morning for that and the offering?
Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to come and hear your word preach this morning. We thank you for the good preaching that we've had this week. And Lord, thank you, Mary, that are with us today. We pray that you bless them. And Lord, we pray for the Benway family this morning. We pray that all the churches put your arms around, draw close to you, Lord, and help us realize your love. Lord, now we ask that you just be with the ones that have been mentioned here as far as sickness is concerned. We pray that you be with them, or you know, to help and strength. Take this offering and pray that you use it for the furtherance of your gospel throughout all the world. And we ask these things in our reverend Savior's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you now as you give. Thank you.
I'm tried and tested as I travel day to day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul, just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. When the tempter brings confusion, and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair is changed to victory, every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul, just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. And what joy fills my soul, just to know that His grace is sufficient for me.
have them home. And tonight, Cindy's going to sing for us. So it's always good to have them home and have some extra special music. 494 in our hymn books. 494. Let's stand as we sing, "Here Am I, Lord, Send Me." 494.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Thank you, choir. That was good. So I'll take our hymn books, 557, So Send I You. And let's all stand together, please. 557, So Send I You.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing 557, So Send I You. I'm going to have our ushers come this morning if they would, and we're going to distribute the Faith Promise Missionary Commitment Cards, and we'd like to have you have that in your hand and be praying for that through the remainder of the service. And while Brother Marowelli preaches and presents Faith Promise to us this morning, you'll have it right in your hand to understand what he is talking about. So ushers, if you would come and pass these out as we sing those last two verses. If you received one last night, but you don't have it with you, please take another one. And if you received one last night, you do have it with you, just let it pass by. Amen. Let's sing that fourth verse together.
So send I you to leave your life's ambition to thy
special this morning to anybody not receive one. Everybody should have a Faith Promise card and let God work in your heart. Has anybody not received one this morning? Right down here, Brother Roberts, the Phillips family. Anybody else? All right. Good job, ushers. Thank you.
Proclaim God's holy and changeable word. Weep for the lost, pray they will heed to the Spirit's call. Preach to all men until every ear has heard. Lift up the cross, share the news of salvation. Multitudes long to know there is hope for their souls. Give of your best, fervently seeking the kingdom. Over all else, know Christ and make him known.
Lift up the cross high above.
Well, if you have not been out the last few nights, you have missed a lot. We've had some wonderful preaching and some singing last night at the dinner. We just had a great time together. Let me encourage you, anytime something like this rolls around, that's an opportunity to get out to the house of God and hear more preaching and get more ingrained in God's Word. Let me encourage you, after the service this morning, go to our lobby and meet all of our missionaries. We have the Cook family, Brandon Cook, missionary to Italy. His wife could not be with them. They just had a child 3 weeks ago, and so a little bit early to travel. But be in prayer for them as they are preparing to go to Italy in April, Lord willing, gathering the last bit of their support. Then, of course, we have Ben and Andrea Ray, missionaries to China. And we support Eddie and Marta Ray, already there. This is their son, Ben, they've got three sons all preparing for the ministry, and I'm getting them all twisted in my head, but Ben Ray is here with us, and his wife Andrea, of course, is Brother Wayne Bodway's daughter, pastor of Guelph, Royal City Baptist Church in Guelph, and so both have grown up in the ministry, and I believe are prepared to do a good job. Our keynote speaker this morning is Brother Brent Marowelli. He is with First Bible International, and they are striving to get a Bible into the languages that do not yet have a Bible. I said the other night, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They need a Bible, and we are responsible to make sure that the gospel goes to all nations. And so that is their endeavor, and you'll hear more about that this morning through his message. Let's have our Bibles ready, and let's give him our attention this morning as he comes to preach to us from the word of God.
Amen. Thank you. Romans chapter number 15 in your Bibles, if you will, please. Romans and chapter number 15. Wow, I feel like the instrumentalist should come back, and we just need to go ahead and have an invitation. I'm telling you, it's just been good, good, good. If it gets any gooder, it's going to turn to sugar. Man, it's been good. That young man that played the piano, are you like 22, 23? How old are you? 20. Single. That was a very slow yes. Are you almost not single? Is there something you should tell your parents about? I think you, do you ever feel the Lord calling? I could use you. You could travel with me. We could have a wonderful time together. I can be a lot of fun, really. Maybe too much fun for you, but we could have fun. Oh, man, going to churches like we have the privilege of going to, the way we have the privilege of going to them, I hope you thank God for the music ministry you have right here at your church. I really hope you don't take it for granted. There are many churches that music is just struggling big time. They just basically have none, and what they have, they shouldn't. It's just sad, really sad. And so I hope that you are very grateful for what God has given you right here. So much talent and so many people doing so many things. Where did Mrs. Judge go? Is there anything you can't do? Man. Wonderful. That's just exciting. Praise the Lord. Where's preacher? You're a blessed man to be able to pastor a group like this. Amen. I'm sure you're extremely humbled. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11 that says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for praying for your missionaries. Those of you who pray earnestly for them by name and get to know them and send them notes of encouragement every now and then, and it's more than just supporting them, but they're a family to you. Thank you for what you do for missions all around the world. It goes on to say, our prayer for us for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. It takes many persons to get the job done. One can't do it, a few can't do it, but many people can get the job done. And we're experiencing many people that are getting involved and helping us get the Word of God where it's never been before. Brother Cook's experiencing many people getting behind him to get him to the country of Italy. All your missionaries are experiencing that, and it takes many. Thank you so much for how that you're doing that. And it concludes in verse number 11 by saying, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Thank you so much. I wish I could thank you enough, but I know that words cannot do it. You have been such a blessing this week, and I have been extremely humbled to be here. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that has been mine to be here at Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, you know my heart, and you know how humbled that I am to be here. And yet you know my desire of what needs to be accomplished during these few moments that we have remaining this morning. So Father, would you please, in Jesus' name, once again, open our eyes in your word to behold wondrous things. Father, maybe there's somebody here that this week you've been working on their hearts and you've been preparing them for surrender. Lord, I pray that they would make that final decision today. Surrender and go. Go and do what you've called them to do. Father, for the ones here who going is not even an option for them anymore, but they have more time to pray than they ever have had in their life, help them to see the value of praying for their missionaries and praying for the world to receive the Word of God and the gospel. Lord, I pray that they'll take a challenge today to pray more than they ever have before for people that they've never prayed for before, that we might see a result in places beyond us. And then, Father, there may be some here that's been looking for a way to invest through their local church in something that would have an eternal value. Help them to see an investment in the Word of God will reap eternal dividends. And so, Father, as we consider what it is that you could do, we're excited already by what you're going to do. Most of all, if there's somebody here who does not have a Bible reason to know that heaven is their home forever, I pray today they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and be born again. Lord, would you save the lost today? As the gospel is being preached around this world today in the respective time zones, when the gospel is given, we pray we'd see a great host of people adopted into the family of God. We'll give you glory and praise for it, and we thank you already for what you're going to do, and trust it by faith in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Romans chapter number 15 in your Bibles, if you will, please. Notice the Bible says in verse number 17, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. It's a very interesting verse, that phrase right there, I have therefore whereof I may glory. That idea of glory is that which we brag on the most. That is which we talk about the most. When you're in a conversation with a complete stranger, what is it that you use as an icebreaker? What is it that you use to talk about the most? I'm pretty convinced that the God, at least of the United States of America, and I think I can say Canada also, is not the God of this book. Now, I'm not sure here as much as I'm sure there, but the God in the United States of America, in my opinion, is sports. I'm not against sports. I like sports as much as the next person does until it takes the place of the book. Then I'm not really much of a fan of it during those times. Amen? But here's the thing. I wondered the other day, the Lord just kind of brought this to my mind, what is it that drives sports so much? What makes it as successful as it is? The thought occurred to me, do you ever enjoy watching a sporting event all by yourself? The answer to that, if you're like most, is probably no. But if you do watch it by yourself, as soon as that amazing play takes place, you're grabbing your cell phone, you're getting the telephone, you're getting a hold of somebody, and you're saying, did you see that incredible play? That was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. We were sitting at the restaurant the other night fellowshipping with the missionaries in Austin. He was glued. Where are you, Austin? He was glued to the TV in there. A hockey game was on. I think some Canada hockey team playing in the Olympics. They were playing. And he said, and I quote, that was the most incredible shot I've ever seen. I looked at him and I said, that's quite a statement for you to say, the most incredible. And then he showed how the guy went between his legs one way and between his legs another way and over his head and through his ears, and somehow he shot it. An amazing shot, amen? But he was just glued. He wanted to say it as soon as he could. That's the most amazing. Wouldn't it be something if we could take that same enthusiasm and transfer it into the church house? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could go home after church every Sunday and call somebody that wasn't there and say, you can't believe what you missed by not being in church today. Wouldn't that be something? We can get excited about sports. Why do we have such a hard time getting excited about God, who gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins? And that reward that we have waiting for us in heaven trumps any reward that any athlete is ever going to have that's just going to rot and moth and rust is going to corrupt it. We need to get more excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. I have therefore whereof I may glory. Do you have a reason to glory? Do you have a reason to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a reason to lift him up? If you don't, love him more. Get into his book more. Learn more about him. Walk with him more intimately. Get to a place where you glory more in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 18, for I will dare not to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. I submit to you, church, we need a little bit more of that today. A little bit more of what, preacher? The power of the Spirit of God. We've let the new evangelicals and the charismatics and a lot of the other denominations rob that from us. We need not fear the power of the Spirit of God. We need to embrace it. We need to be more of a part of it. We need to see it more evident in our personal lives and see it more evident in our church. And look how it's evident right here in verse number 19. Look at the geography. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, and that entire geographical location, the Apostle Paul and all those that are working with the Apostle Paul make this next incredible statement. Look at it, verse number 19, Romans chapter 15. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Mercy. With what form of transportation did they get that done? With what types of communications in that day were they able to completely encompass that geography with the gospel? That's amazing that they're able to do it. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving somebody an opportunity to be saved. And then they go on to say in verse number 20, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. If you can put the screen up, brother. Lest I should build upon another man's foundation. This is the goal of Dr. Charles Keene. How many of you know that name? Dr. Charles Keene, I think he's been here, right, preacher? He's been here probably several years ago. How many of you know the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed? Okay, Dr. Charles Keene, along with three other men, 40 years ago, started the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed, the original Bearing Precious Seed, under the authority of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. Dr. Keene pastored First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio for 35 years. Last year, Bearing Precious Seed out of Milford, Ohio, printed their 100 millionth copy of the Word of God. This is not just some little printing press down in a basement somewhere where they're printing a few pages of Scripture. This is an amazing ministry that God is using all around the world, getting the Bible into the hands of people who already have a Bible in their heart language. 10 years ago, when Dr. Keene, or 11 years ago now, when Dr. Keene found out and realized that nearly half the world has never had a Bible in their heart language, he resigned as pastor of First Baptist Church in Milford to start First Bible International, getting the Word of God into the heart languages of those who have never had a Bible in their language before. It's under the authority now of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, where Bearing Precious Seed is, and his son-in-law, Pastor Dutchery, is the pastor. And so Bearing Precious Seed prints the Word of God. We get it translated. They print it for us. We get it distributed, and we're involved in getting the churches started where there's never been a church and there's never been a Bible before. I am sent out from the Faith Baptist Church in Chelsea, Michigan, as far as the United States is concerned. Adam Summers is my pastor. There's supposed to be another slide right there from Brother Sullivan. I don't know what happened to it, but Brother Sullivan from Pembina Valley Baptist Church is the contact for here in Canada. We've established First Bible International Canada under the authority of Pembina Valley Baptist Church, where Pastor Mike Sullivan is, and we're very, very excited about that. And so we ask you to pray for us. I'm very sorry that my wife, Shelley, could not be here. I hope you get the opportunity to meet her. She is such an amazing person, but she's not able to travel all the time because of her heart condition of atrial fibrillation and congestive heart failure. But God is blessing in her life. She's doing amazing today. And as long as we're able to bring the RV, she's able to come with me. But this was too far of a trip. The RV is in Florida right now, and this would just be too far and too quick to do that economically. And so that's why she's not here. But hopefully next time in, you can meet her. Please go by and see our display table out there. Pick up our prayer cards and the other information that's there. I've had a few of you ask me about the display table because there's some CDs on there and you weren't sure what they were. Those CDs are just very conservative music, Brother Byron Fox with Bible Truth Music, with King James verses for children to memorize the Bible to music. And God's using those all over the country. Kids are memorizing the Word of God, and that's what those are out there. Some of Dr. Keene's books are out there also, and you can see the various things that are there. And then when you get to a place where you can take another missionary on for support, we would be honored to represent you around the country for the glory of God, getting the Word of God into the heart languages of those who've never done it before. We're at 94% of our support right now. We give God all the glory for that. We were up to 97%, but a couple of churches that are really struggling in Michigan have had to drop us financially, and they're wanting to pick it back up when God allows that, and we're looking forward to that happening. There it is right there. It's in a different spot. You know Brother Mike Sullivan, I'm sure, from Pembina Valley, and we're very excited about his burden to help us get the Word of God around the world. Here in Canada right now, the Canadian project that we're working on with all of our churches in Canada is the Farsi language for the people of Iran. We have several thousand dollars that have already come in. Our goal is to get a Bible into that language for the first time in a reliable text and deliver them a Bible instead of a bomb. Amen? Get the Word of God to them. We're going to get the Gospel of John to them first, and then we're going to turn right around behind it and do a New Testament. It's a $130,000 project total. We want to have that done by the end of 2015, and that's what all the Canadian churches are helping us to raise the money for to get done. And I trust that you'll pray about your involvement in helping us to do that, because we're talking about Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. That tells us to go where, church? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where? The uttermost. The uttermost is where the unreached people groups are. Unreached people groups are those who have no church, those who have no gospel presence, and those who have no scripture whatsoever. We're talking about some 6,000 unreached people groups. That's 3.2 billion people, nearly half of our world's population. 86% of them live in what's called the 1040 window. If you're not familiar with it, this is it right here. That's the 10-degree line north of the equator, 40-degree line north of the equator. All the way from Africa, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, India, China, all the way over to the islands. Right there in that imaginary rectangular box that we call the 1040 window, almost half of our world's population all live right there. We want to get a Bible to them in their language as quickly as we possibly can. For instance, those in Western Africa, in Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso has all these different people groups. A people group is a group of people that has their own form of politics, their own communication, where communication can move through their tribe completely unhindered. If you were to total all the people groups up in Burkina Faso, there'd be 29 people groups just right there. But many of these people groups are not just unreached, many of them are unengaged. Unreached and unengaged is similar in that they have no church and no gospel presence and no scripture. But what makes them unengaged is this. Preacher, I don't know about you, but I don't think we should ever see those letters in white on any screen in any church in the world. Amen, congregation? As far as we know, these are people that are completely unengaged. There's no active effort in place at all to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The majority of these people, as I mentioned in Sunday school, have no written language whatsoever. And so it takes a linguist to go live with those people and turn their noise into an alphabet into a primer, teach them how to read, and then get them a portion of Scripture. This is a process that takes some time to accomplish, but are they worth it? They were worth it for Jesus. When he died on Calvary's cross, they were on his mind just as much as you were. He loves them just as much as he loves us. And we have the responsibility to get the gospel to them just as much as we have the gospel in our hands today. For instance, those in Asia, maybe India. India has the largest representation of unreached people groups in all of the world. In fact, in Burkina Faso, there were 29 unreached people groups. India's bigger. India has more. Somebody help me. How many do you think would be in India? How many unreached people groups? Any guess? 600? It's a pretty good guess. Anybody else? Let me help you. There's 2,274 unreached people groups just in India. You see, that's why I said in Sunday school this morning, we need to rethink our focus in the way that we send missionaries, that we don't want to send missionaries to a geography, we want to send missionaries to a people. Because it's the people that get saved. It's the people groups that needs a missionary to go and live with those people and learn that language and get them a Bible and establish a church for a national to be able to worship in. And then move right over the top of that mountain, and down here in this valley is another people group that cannot communicate with that people group at all. They have no way. They have no written language. They have no form of communication with them at all. It takes a missionary to work with them as much as it takes a missionary to work with them. We need to reach these people as quickly as we possibly can. That's why we have a purpose at First Bible International, and that purpose starts with scripture translation and Bible publishing. Now, repeatedly, I have people that will ask me and say, how come that's first? Why isn't church planting first? We support church planting missionaries, and I agree with that. Praise the Lord for that. How do you have a church with no Bible? And even more than that, how would you sustain a church with no Bible? You see, we want to get the Word of God to them as quickly as we can so that the church can be established, but they need a Bible, then we can work with the nationals. It's been proven that no country has ever been fully evangelized by outside sources. They will evangelize themselves from within. All they need are the tools necessary to be able to get the job done. You see, church, we have this model, and the model is not wrong. Our model is that God would reach in, and he would grab a young person, and he'd call them to be a missionary. That young person then is not concerned about what, it's about where. He decides where he's going to go. He raises his support. He gets to that place. He knocks on doors. He wins people to Christ. He establishes a church, turns it over to a national, and they go about and do it somewhere else. Is that the model? Yes or no? Is it a good one? Yes or no? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. It's what we believe is very biblical. But with that model, what happens in all these places where a missionary can't walk in there as a missionary? Well, let's just forget about them. Let's go do it where we can, get the most bang for our buck, get as many people saved as we possibly can for our record. Forget about them. Because after 200 years of doing missions the way we've been doing missions in the United States and Canada, half the world has still never heard one time. You see, they'll get the job done. All they need are the tools necessary to do it. Sometimes it doesn't even take a human being to take the Word of God in. We're talking about God here. God could have, if he wanted, he could have put a great big old banner in the sky in every language for everyone to read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He could have done it that way, right? But he didn't choose to do it that way. He chose to do it this way. Under the authority of the local church, it's our responsibility to get the gospel where it's never been before. But sometimes God can do it without even using a human being. Probably one of the most difficult areas in the world that we have to reach right now with the gospel is North Korea. Unbelievable what's going on in North Korea. But there are neighbors to North Korea, South Korea, where revivals are taking place. Amazing things are happening there. And the people in South Korea have such a burden for those in North Korea that right now as we sit here in the comforts of this amazing auditorium, they are taking portions of their Bibles and they're ripping out a verse and they're putting it in balloons and they're blowing those balloons up, and when the wind is blowing the right direction, they let it go. And I think God is still in control of the wind. And those balloons fall into North Korea, into the lap or the hands of somebody for the first time. God can do it. Anybody here ever been to the Grand Canyon? Wow, lots of you have been. Have you been to the bottom? I'm told to get to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, you have to ride donkeys to get there. I'm also told that if you're riding that donkey along that path and you see something off the beaten path that you want to see, you can beat that donkey to death and it's not taking you off that path. Do you know why? Because a donkey has been proven, if it walks the same path a repeated amount of times, it will always walk that same path without fail, without human assistance. And there are people in the Far East that have herds of donkeys. And they have trained those donkeys to walk across borders where there are no border control. And they'll strap as many Bibles to the backs of those donkeys as they possibly can. And those donkeys will walk those Bibles into these restricted nations. Under the cover of darkness, people will get those Bibles off those donkeys and put them in their makeshift canoes and float those Bibles down the river to their people, knowing that if they ever get caught, they're going to die. They just need the tools to do it. We've heard of a man that drives a potato truck. And before he ever puts those thousands of pounds of potatoes on that truck, in the bottom he has a false floor. In that false floor, he packs as many Bibles in there as he possibly can. He knows if he's ever checked at the border, it's not going to be persecution. He's going to die. But he's willing. If somebody would just get in the Bibles. Then we can see the local church has started. And then that process can work itself over and over again with the 4,000 missionaries that we have to get it done. 4,000, that's incredible. Amen? Praise the Lord for the number that we have, but the question is, where are they going? ?85% in the same 15 different countries? Maybe that doesn't ring a bell to you unless you realize there's 192 recognized by the United Nations. 85% in the same 15. I'm not real good at math, so somebody tell me how many countries does that leave completely untouched? 192, 85%, what is it? Okay, a lot. That only leaves 8% that's working in the 1040 window. Preacher, this happened under our watch. We're the ones that are responsible for sending the missionaries around the world. I've had the privilege of being a pastor for the last 25 years, and in 25 years, I have sent missionaries around the world through the churches that God has allowed me to be able to pastor. And we're responsible for those numbers. And I never even knew it. I never even thought about it. I had to come up with why. I had to figure out how. How in the world have we allowed that to possibly happen? And this is what the Lord has given me. How many of you believe in prayer? 4, 10, 12. How many of you believe in prayer? All right, good. Now we can have a prayer meeting. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 2, please. Psalm 2. Now please understand that I know the context of Psalm 2. I know that this is the Son asking of the Father. But I also know that we have a responsibility in what we do to get those represented around the throne of God throughout all eternity. So we need to have as big of a part as we can have in getting it done also. And it says in Psalm 2 and verse number 8, it says, ask of me. That's prayer. Amen? That's prayer. How many of you believe prayer really does make a difference? Let me see your hand. I think you do believe that. I think you really do believe. Do you believe that if we were to join together as a church and earnestly pray that God would prepare a missionary to go into the heart of one of these people that's never had a language before, that somewhere in this world there's going to be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman sitting in a pew somewhere during a missions conference and God is going to press upon their need Burkina Faso. God's going to press upon their need somewhere in Africa. Somewhere in India, where there's never been a Bible before. I believe that God can do that as much as I'm standing in front of you today. I believe that. But why are our young people not preparing to go to those places? I heard somebody say not too long ago that the majority of missionaries decide where they're going to go as a missionary based on what they see. The eye affects the heart. And so they've surrendered to be a missionary, they just don't know where. And so they're in mission conferences like this, or they're in a Bible college that has good chapel services. By the way, if you're considering Bible college, check out the chapel service. It's everything. It's everything. You talk to most preachers, that which they enjoyed most about Bible college, believe me, is not the exams and the tests. It's the preaching in the chapel services. And it used to be that the chapel services were hot. I mean, some of the most amazing preachers in the world that God was using would come across those platforms, and missionaries would come across those platforms, and that young man or that young lady would be sitting there, and they would see all these presentations. And all of a sudden, one of those presentations grips their heart. Everywhere they turn in the Word of God, that place jumps off the pages of Scriptures to them. They call everyone they know and trust in ministry. They ask him about it. They call home to their pastor and they say, "Preacher, God has really laid this particular country on my heart. What do you think?" Preacher agrees, helps him raise their support, gets him to the field as quickly as possible. Is there anything wrong with that? No, nothing wrong with that. But with that, what are the chances? Come here. Come here. If God were to reach in and were to grab a young man like this right here and say, "I want you to be a missionary." And if God were to say to you, "I want you to be a missionary," what would you say?
Yes.
Whew. Did you hear that? Let's try that again. If God were to say, "I want you to be a missionary," what would you say?
Yes.
I could ask that 100 times. I would never get tired of hearing that, Brother Cook. Praise the Lord. But with those numbers, what's your name?
Nicholas.
Nicholas. With those numbers, what's the chance that Nicholas would ever even pray about going to an unreached? How many of you have heard of the 10:40 window before today? Many. Who's heard of the 4:14 window? Let me see if I can help you with something. If you're between the ages of 4 and 14, would you come up here with me, please? All over the building. If you're between 4 and 14, just come up here and stand right up in here with me. Would you please? You stay right here with me. You're my missionary. All 4 to 14-year-olds, just right up in here. All over, from everywhere, come on up. Come. I know a lot of the younger ones are still out. There's one. Come on. Come. Amen. I can spot you, I promise. Looking. There's one. Come on. I know you got to be in that age category. Is he older? Are you older? Really? Okay, good. And all the other ones are over. Now, what would happen if we could get churches like this all across America, all across North America, that would start training these young people about who unreached people groups are? What would happen if Sunday school teachers all across the country started teaching those in their class who the unreached people are? What is the 10:40 window? What is the uttermost parts of the world? What would happen if somebody would go to the Joshua Project and download different people group profiles on a regular basis, and maybe on your beautiful missionary display you have out there, you put another section out there for unreached people groups? And somebody puts a different profile of an unreached people group in that spot every week or every month. You have a prayer list here. Maybe in your prayer list, your weekly prayer list that you get, you put a different unreached people group in that prayer list every week or every month. Pastor, on a regular basis from the pulpit, mentions to you unreached, mentions to you uttermost, mentions to you who they are. These young people grow up hearing that. Their teacher has taught it to them. Their pastor's prayed about it. They see it displayed. They pray about it in their prayer bulletin. And God reaches in and he grabs Nicholas and says, "Nicholas, I want you to be a missionary." What are the chances under that environment that Nicholas would at least pray about going to the unreached? Just because you informed them and just because you're praying for God to send them. Now magnify that around the world. All of our churches just doing that. All of our churches just educating young people. Who are the unreached people groups? Where do they live? Churches all around the world praying that God would touch the hearts of these new missionaries coming up to go where missionaries have not been going. We could see a host of missionaries in 10 years going where they've never gone before just because we prayed and we informed. Amen? Say that verse out loud with me. Thank you, young people. You can go back. While they're going back, say it out loud, would you? "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Nicholas, on this screen there's over 100 different countries that's listed there. And something is in common with every one of them. It wouldn't be fair for me to ask you, so I'll just help you, okay? The Jehovah's Witnesses are in every one of them. And the Mormons are active in every one of them. And there's a McDonald's in every one of them. We introduced Big Mac, Large Fry, and Diet Coke. Why do we order Big Mac, Large Fry, and Diet Coke? I'm not really sure why we do that, but we do. Is NASCAR anything in Canada? Is there any NASCAR fans up here? Oh, there are some NASCAR fans. Whoa, a lot of NASCAR fans. Miss Judge, is your hand... You're even a NASCAR fan? She probably drives one. You ever wonder what it takes to make a NASCAR fan? 130,000 screaming people. We live in an RV full-time, and when we are in Michigan, which is where our home is, where we park our RV is literally right across the road from MIS, Michigan International Speedway. That little town of Brooklyn explodes from 8,000 people to 138,000 people twice a year. It is absolutely unbelievable. I want to be out of there every time that happens. But anyway, 130,000 people sitting around one racetrack watching a whole bunch of men and one lady averaging 180 plus miles an hour in order to be able to win a race, and they only know how to turn left. I don't get it. Am I right that most races are won because of the pit crew? Right? For sure. Pit crew can win or lose the race without any question. Why didn't they put the pits in the outfield instead of the infield? There's a whole lot more room out there. Because the driver would have to turn right to get to them. They'd never be able to finish a race. Do you know that NASCAR is broadcast in 150 different countries? If I don't have your attention yet, ladies, with over 1 million sales reps, Avon is represented in every one of those places. So if we can put makeup on their faces, if we can introduce them to very fast cars, if we can give them a hamburger and a french fry, should we not be able to get them a Bible in their language that they can read for the first time? I believe we should. And I believe that we can. In fact, think about our advanced travel. In our text, they reached their entire world with what? Walking a boat, two hump camel at best. And think about our travel today. Is it not unbelievable? Yes? Has it not advanced big time? In fact, who's the oldest person in here? Who's the oldest man? The oldest man in the building, real quick. Who are you? Is it you? How old are you? 87. Any man older than 87? Anybody, anywhere? 87. And you can hear me. Perfect. And he's a good thinker, too. It was perfect. Can you remember the very first automobile that you bought? What was it? A 1938 Dodge. Where's Brendan? Brendan. Brother Fury, I have asked that question now in over 300 churches. Guess how many men said, I don't remember that first car. Guess how many? None. Every one of them is just that quick. I mean, boom, just that quick. That first vehicle is so important. Amen, Brendan? So important. I mean, it should be something like a 2014 Mustang GT Celine package or Dodge 3/4 ton 4x4. Just something you can remember more than an AMC Pacer. I said this a while ago, and that's what the preacher said. That boy's getting an AMC Pacer. He won't forget it. What, 1938? What kind? What kind?
Dodge.
Came out of the factory with air conditioning, power steering, power brakes, GPS system on board, power window. None of those things? Did it have rubber on the tires? Amen. Let me ask you a real, think about this. How far away from home would you have comfortably driven in that vehicle? 50 miles is nosebleed area, right? 50 miles. I'm on a 3,000 or 4,000 mile trip and not even thinking about the distance. Pastor and his family and others are going to get into an airplane the day after tomorrow and fly around the world. And not even going to think about the distance until about hour 10 on the plane and seats are getting very uncomfortable. Has our travel not advanced big time? Should we not use that to get the Bible where it's never been before? What about communications? Do you remember the old phones? Stick your finger in the hole and you didn't call a number. You called the operator and they dialed the number for you. How many of you remember that? Yeah, how many of you remember these phones? A few of you remember those phones. And then we moved from that to push button. Man, that was, are you serious? That was amazing. Then we went from push button to cordless phones. There was one in every room and you never could find them. And if you did find it, it wasn't charged up. Unbelievable. And now we've got our cell phones, our technology. That man, that genius sitting back there, he can do things with technology that's blowing my mind. Agree, Brother Judge, we could push a button and within 10 seconds we could be talking to a missionary on the other side of the world. They could be on our screens. You could see them, we could see, they could see us, we could hear them, they could hear us. That's old technology. Should we not use that for our benefit to get the word where it's never been before? With the 12,000 churches that we have to use to get it done. 12,000 churches, 6,000 unreached people groups. How does that work? You join up with one other church like this church and adopt one people group. You pray and ask God to use you to help get a Bible where it's never been before. And you fund that project by God's grace. And you see it translated and you see it printed. And your pastor, along with some other folks, go over there and hand deliver that Bible into someone's hands for the first time while you've been preparing a missionary to go be a part of those people. And that missionary works with them and establishes the church. If every church would just work with one people group, we could work on closure to the Great Commission in our lifetime. Because all these people are dying at unbelievable rates. Every second in our known world, four people are born and two people die. Every second, four born and two die. Four born and two die. We can say that as long as we have breath, and that number is never going to get changed but get bigger. And we believe the answer is in the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp. What's a lamp do when you turn a lamp on? It glows the area right around where you're standing. A lamp basically shows you where you are right now. These people have no idea where they are in their lost condition without Christ. They have no idea sin is going to separate them from a holy God. Is this an accurate statement? Yes or no? If a person does not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior before they die, after they die, they're going to spend forever in the place the Bible calls hell. Yes or no? Yes. And since that answer is yes, there are billions of people who have died and have gone to a hell that they never even knew existed until they got there. We need to reach them as quick as we can. We need to get the gospel to them so they can know sin separates them from God. So they can know that God loves them so much that he can save them. But not only is it a lamp, it's also what else? A light. Difference in a lamp and a light. A lamp shows you where you are. A light shows you where you're going. I know where I'm going. 41 years ago, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. On that day, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. On that day, I was sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. On that day, a mansion is prepared for me in heaven. I'm so sure that mansion's there. It's on the corner of Glory Boulevard and Halley Lane, and I cannot wait to get there. Why do I know that? I read it. He said, you wait, you read Hallelujah Lane and Glory Boulevard? No, but it's in heaven. And when you go somewhere, you put in your reservations as to where you're going to go, right? And so I just put in my reservations. So when Brother Brandon gets there, he can come find me. Amen. With the model of First Bible International, you are not just sending out missionaries around the world. You become the missionary. Because the greatest missionary we can ever send is the Bible in the mother tongue. Would you help us to get the Word of God not to just Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, where 99% of our missionary money is used, but also unto where? The uttermost, the unreached people groups, where less than 1% of our mission money is used to reach those people. Less than 1%. And so we pray, Lord of the harvest, will you send forth laborers into your field of service, even from this local church. Verse number 30 in our text says that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Carries the idea of we can't do it ourselves. We can't get this job done alone. We need you to engage with us to get the job done in our lifetime. We believe it can happen. God told us to do it. He would have never told us to do something that he knew we were never going to be able to accomplish and then hold us responsible at the judgment seat of Christ because we didn't do it. That just doesn't make any sense at all. And so we ask you, will you help us to get somebody their very first Bible? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would impact this church with the message of the unreached. I pray that you would stir their hearts for the uttermost. I pray that you would move us through a proper procedure to get us to the place where we can be involved in helping somebody read for the first time that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died for them and that if they would be willing to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior through his shed blood, repenting of their sin, that Jesus will save them. Write their name down in the Lamb's Book of Life and they'd be saved. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm just going to ask you two questions and then I'm going to turn the invitation over to Brother Feary as pastor to deal with as he sees fit. Question number one is this. Do you have a Bible reason to know that you're going to heaven? Do you have a Bible reason? Are you positive heaven is your home? Based on the authority of the Word of God? If that answer is no, again, you've heard Jesus loves you. Again, you've heard that Jesus died for your sin. And again, you've heard that if you'll receive Jesus as your Savior, you can be born again. You've heard that again, and half the world has never heard it one time. Would you say today is my day to be saved? I'm not waiting any longer. I'd like somebody to take the Bible and show me from the Word of God, not man's opinion, but from the Word of God, how I can know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I want to take care of that today. If that's true, would you just look right here at me so we can get somebody to help you? I'm looking over here to my right. I want somebody to take the Bible and show me how to be saved. Just somebody I'm looking for. Would you like somebody to help you to be saved? Are you looking at me for that reason? Yes or no? Not sure. Okay. I'm looking right here in the center section on my right. Is there anybody here? I need somebody to help me to show me how to be saved. Somebody in this section right here in the middle? I'm looking. I don't want to miss anybody. And on my far left, anybody here? I want somebody to show me how to be saved. All right, with that, either everybody in here knows for sure they're saved, and I hope that's the case. Or if you're not, I hope you'll receive Jesus Christ quickly. Question number two. I hope that you can see that we believe what's going to make a difference is prayer. Prayer is what's going to do it. We have a prayer guide that we will give you free of charge that, should you decide to take the challenge, will help you to pray through the top 100 unreached people groups in 1 month. Experts tell us, in order to form a habit, you need to do the same thing 21 times in a row. And so if we can get you praying for a month for the unreached, hopefully many of you will pray for the unreached for the rest of your life. I wonder how many of you would say, I want to take that challenge. I want one of those prayer guides. I'm going to make a commitment today to pray for the unreached on a regular basis. I want one of those prayer guides. I am going to pray for the unreached on a regular basis. If that's true, would you stand with me all over this building? I want one of those prayer guides. I'm going to pray for the unreached on a regular basis. People are standing all over. Would you just stand with me, please? All over the building. I want one of those prayer guides. I'm going to take that prayer guide, and as God gives me the ability and the memory, I'm going to pray for those folks. God bless your hearts. People standing all over the building. Now let me ask you to take it one step further. Will you start praying for them right now? Right now, will you leave that seat and come up to this altar with us, and let's pray for them right now. Come on, as the instruments begin to play, many are coming from all over the building, and we want to pray right now for these unreached people groups, that God would use us to reach them for His glory. I want one of those prayer guides. I want to pray for the unreached, and I want to start praying for them right now. Would you come, please? God bless your hearts. God bless your hearts. If it's difficult for you to come, if it's easier for you to kneel right there, that's okay also. Many have assembled themselves here to pray for these unreached people groups. God, I pray you'll bless them. Lord, I know that they're going to see names on this list that they're not even going to be able to pronounce. But you know them and you love them as much as you know us and you love us. And it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Father, I pray you'll help them. Help them, please. Lord, as we think about what you did with 12, what could you do with this many for this Jerusalem? Lord, would you lay upon the heart of a young person or an adult, even from this church, to go? Lord, would you prepare a missionary's heart somewhere in this world to go to an unreached? Would you establish churches where there's never been a church? Give you glory and praise for it in Jesus' name.
Some are still praying. We sing the first verse of that song, but they're made to leave us. Take my life and let it be. Good service this morning. Thank you so much for being here. How many of you would say you've heard some of those statistics said in passing in different messages, but to see it all laid out like that on the screens for us this morning really drove the point home, didn't it? And really helped us to see the need. And I'm going to encourage you to do this. Mrs. Baker, I'm going to step on your choir practice a little bit. But at 5 o'clock, I just talked to Brother Meriwether, we're going to meet in the teenager's classroom. And we're going to pray for the unreached. And just as you just did now, but he's going to bring his pamphlets, and we're going to introduce that calendar to you to pray for, and he can talk a little bit about that, and then we'll have a prayer time together at 5 o'clock. So would you allow the choir a shorter practice this afternoon? And they'll come at 5 o'clock and join us as well. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please come at 5 o'clock. It'll be a good time, and we'll have a great time together. Brother Wiedrich, was Phil Wiedrich? I saw him a minute ago. Oh, there you are. Okay. The only guy in the church that's as tall as you is sitting right in front of you. Would you run over and see if Brother Ray is done teaching, would you have him come over so that we have all our missionaries in the lobby? I'd appreciate that so much. And Brother Cook, if you'll head out to the lobby, and Brother Merriwell, if you'll head out to the lobby. And I want you to stop by their tables. Brother Ortiz and his family had to leave yesterday. They had more meetings scheduled for today down in Connecticut. And so be in prayer for them as well. We do have some of their prayer cards, though, on the fireplace. If you didn't get a prayer card from the Ortiz family, it's on the fireplace. Please pick one up. But please meet our missionaries and pick up a prayer card. I know that they would appreciate it. Let's be in prayer right now, even for the Benaway family and the Ronsons. Brother Jason's headed, of course, over to the funeral home with his children right now, and it'll be a very difficult hour for them. And then the visitation's at 1 o'clock. Brother McDonald's going to come, give us any more announcements that we need, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Thank you so much for being here. Lord bless you. Tonight, we have a great service planned for you at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Once again, those were great messages, and First Bible International has a good website. When we were planning these missionaries and that, and I got on that, and that's the first time I ever heard about all this unreached people groups. It's an amazing thing, so you might want to check them out on their website as well. I won't keep you long with announcements. Just want to remind you, tomorrow is Family Day. There will be no volleyball tomorrow night because of that, and of course, the funeral tomorrow, 11 o'clock, right here for Marsha Benaway. As the pastor also said, visitation 1 to 5 p.m. over at the Baldock Funeral Home today, and also keep Pastor and all those traveling with him in your prayers. They're going to be leaving on Tuesday, first thing in the morning on Tuesday. Just pray that God will really use that trip to really work on their hearts and give them safety while they're doing it. Also, continue to pray, as we've mentioned, for some of the folks that really need our prayers for their health's sake. I just remembered, Pastor mentioned Sunday school, but I don't think in the morning service, Elizabeth Crawshaw is back in the hospital. Continue to pray for her. And also tonight, please come on out tonight, as Pastor mentioned, 5 o'clock, teenagers room. We're going to be praying for these people groups, but also we're going to have a great service tonight, and you don't want to miss it, and we're going to have that opportunity to fill in those cards for the Faith Promise Mission. We'll put them in, and this is what we do. This is how we plan, how we budget the missionaries that we're going to support this year. It is a very important time, so pray for it today if you haven't already, how much God has laid on your heart to give to missions over and above the tithes and regular offerings. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for the message we heard today. Lord, how it stirs our hearts to realize that some of these areas, they've been reached by the cults. They've been reached by commercial enterprises, and they've been reached by so many other things, Lord, sports, but they haven't been reached with the Bible in their own language. They have never heard John 3:16. They don't even know God loves them. And Father, we just pray that you would work on our hearts, Lord. Help us not to leave here unchanged, but help us to have an understanding that things need to be turned around. We need to faithfully pray for these people groups. And even those who have heard the gospel, Lord, they need to hear it again until they get saved. Help us to be faithful for what we already know. Give us safety on our road journeys as we leave here, and return us safely here tonight, Lord, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you now as you go.